Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last? I lied.
I am the law!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes! I'm gonna shoot you between the balls!
Your disease. And I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one!
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay. I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Gimme Back My Action Movies, the podcast, kid-friendly edition. I am your host, Charlie. With me, as always, is Nate. Say hello to the people, Nate.
So you haven't heard of me?
maybe we have. And beside Nate, back in the back of the carriage picking out what wine goes best with podcasting, it's Pete.
I am a reserved, calm individual tonight.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yep. That's good job, Pete. Good job. And our fourth musketeer for the night, we have Parker from Dissect That Film. Hello, Parker.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
We have Parker. I forgot he was going to be here. So when I logged in late and saw him, I went, oh, yeah, I'm late. And we had a guest.
You suck.
I forgot.
I knew Parker was going to be here.
You thought we were doing Monster Squad tonight.
It's just, you got the wrong. And there's three Musketeers. Like, it's going to be there's four. So, like,
it still fits.
Nate, what is going on here?
It still fits. I'm sure.
Hi, Parker. It's nice to see you again. Hi.
Chaos. This is what February's due to us, and we're only 2 weeks out of it. So, yeah, if you haven't guessed what we're doing.
It's a year long.
Stop it, you.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Get the squirt bottle.
In the carriage.
And then in December, you're like, oh, this is a good idea. We'll let Pete do that again. It's fine. And then
go feed the horses. It's fine. All right, so if you haven't guessed what we're doing, it's what I said. Settle down. We are doing something for the very first time on the show. We are actually covering a Disney movie, The Three Musketeers. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't on my bingo card when I started the podcast.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's pick some Disney movies.
Boy, is this this is not a Disney movie. I mean, it's definitely a Disney movie, but woof.
Well,
it's got the blueprints.
Talk
for
about skirting the edges
early
of Disney.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is the reason why I pick this one for what we're doing this month, which is kid-friendly action and horror movies, things that kind of got you started, that maybe if you're interested in getting your kid into watching movies, you're always like, well, where do I even start? Well, the four we're picking this month are definitely going to be ones where you can start right there. And watching this movie last night again, under the guise of what we're doing, I'm sitting there going, this is way more adult than I ever realized.
You and me both. Boy, I saw this in the theater and thought, you know, this is, I remember being a lot of fun and not a lot of substance to it. Then you get bustiers and people actually dying in a Disney movie. Like, wow, I had no idea Disney had this.
You're acting like Disney's never killed anyone before when they killed half the universe in one movie.
This is the 90s.
Mass genocide, so much different than some early jerks that belong to the Cardinal.
Look, when they just kind of feather away, is it really mass genocide? I'm a little
3.5 billion people. That is mass genocide.
Knock it off. I'm a little sleepy. That's a different story.
I am calling for a cease Thanos.
No, fair.
But did that movie, though, plaster Walt Disney pictures on it before it showed it? Because this one did. This one personally just is like, this is a Walt Disney picture. And you're like, okay, I'm in for it.
This is the era of Sunday night, Wonderful World of Disney.
Wonderful. This is a Wide World of Disney tonight.
No, that was ESPN. Wide World of Sports.
That was NBC.
Monday.
But this was when Disney was at its most wholesome, and they were really writing a razor's edge line with this film. Am I wrong?
This was a family film, though, for our household. Right? Like, this is one you watched all the time.
There isn't any blood in this. There isn't any sex.
There's a little bit of blood.
There's one drip of blood. It's very fuzzy. Like, they put it out of focus. Like, there's times where they show their sword and you can see blood, but it's out of focus.
Charlie Sheen's wiping blood off of his sword. That's the fair. First time when you go, wait a minute, did they kill half of the guards? He's wiping blood off that sword.
When the guards showed up, I was like, oh, there's no way they're going to die. And then they died. I went, oh.
That's what I thought.
I'll be.
You go into that tavern and, like, half of them are tied up. But the other half are dead on the floor.
I just assumed everyone was going to get really big boo-boos like in George of the Jungle.
What and you it, expect.
They did not. They actually did not come back to life.
The wooden crutch and all the slings.
Yeah.
Those damn musketeers again.
We'll get them next time. They all get beat up again.
Like quest for the the Holy Grail. It's 'tis but a scratch.
I mean, Dartanian throws a guy off of like 150 foot ledge.
And even then I went, well, he's still alive, right? And then no,
Charlie Sheen's giving him his last rites. Like, what happened to him? Yeah,
that was the moment I went, oh, they are in fact dead.
This is not fooling around here.
This is permanent. Man. All right, well, we've already jumped right into this. I have a trailer. Obviously, it's a Disney movie. We're gonna have a trailer. So let's get that
in English too, right?
It is in English.
Narrated by Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, you didn't do the French one?
No, I didn't do the French one. All right, here's trailer.
You're under arrest.
Five of them, three of us. Hardly think fair. Maybe we should give them a chance to surrender.
Excuse me, but there's four of us.
Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
Hello.
Nice to meet you again.
Pleasure.
Now, we're prepared to resist you.
Walt Disney Pictures presents the story of the greatest heroes who ever lived.
Long live the Musketeer!
It was a time when danger was irresistible.
Did I miss anyone?
King's life is in danger.
We have work to do.
1,000 gold pieces on each of their heads, dead or alive.
I prefer...
Kill him!
Dead.
Adventure was everywhere.
I hope we're not interrupting.
Kill those musketeers.
Champagne?
We're in the middle of a chase, Porthos.
And friendship...
You're right. Something red.
...was the greatest weapon of all. All for one.
More for me.
Charlie Sheen.
We must pray for ourselves.
Second thought, God's often busy. Kiefer Sutherland.
Save the king!
Chris O'Donnell.
I want a mission for the king.
I've heard that before.
Oliver Platt.
That's it! Next time you drive.
Tim Curry. A snap of my fingers, and you could be back on the block where I found you. And Rebecca De Mornay.
And with a flick of my wrist, I could change your religion.
The Three Musketeers.
I am grinning ear to ear just listening to this thing, and Pete's over here having the time of his life as he's listening to the trailer.
Stupid movie is wonderful. Oh my word. I don't know what else to say. I mean, we're going to go into what our history with it. My history is I saw this in the theater. I saw
it. Is he driving or am I driving?
I'm driving. Confused. Right now I'm driving. I'll have you know.
What is happening?
I don't think you're allowed to have two people on a horse.
Okay, Charlie, you can say what I just said. Go for it, sir.
No.
What if he didn't see it in a theater? And he can't say
I
you
saw
just
this
said.
In the theater, in the single screen right. theater in Bluffton, Ohio. And it was, I remember it being a lot of fun. When you guys brought it up, like, we're going to do this for the first kids action movie of the year. I'm like, okay, I remember this being fun. Watched it again. And I was so right. This is a blast. There's not a lot of substance to this movie. It is, as far as depth of story, it's pretty shallow. There's not a lot going on. It's been done a number of times. Heck, I would even say that the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie is quite similar, with the dad being around, the dad being a vehicle for the advancement of the story. It's very
there's
silly.
A dad in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Well, sure, Bootstrap Bill.
There's a guy named Bootstrap Bill?
Yeah, it was Will Turner's dad. I mean, he's not in the movie. He's just mentioned a bunch of times. Yeah.
All right, it's been a while since I've seen it.
Anyway.
Look, I only like the first one, all right?
Anyway. All
right.
This movie was a ball. The action in it is kid-friendly. There is no... I don't remember any blood. Yes, Charlie Sheen did wipe his blade off, but I don't remember seeing any blood on it. It don't matter. But people did die, and there weren't boobs in it, but there were boobs in it.
I'm saying this counts as boobs.
This is okay. The stuff that as a kid, you go, right, oh, yeah. I think I might.
I like
these.
What is that?
I don't know.
I
what's
want
going
to know
on.
More.
Yeah, exactly. they didn't turn into the Grand Tetons or anything, but they were in your face.
They didn't.
There's literally a shot of them. The camera doesn't go to D'Artagnan's face. They go to the boobs.
Right to the boobs.
Yeah, they're on Rebecca De Mornay's chest.
Going for the Oscar.
Wakes up. Yeah.
And they just focus on them for a long time.
But it's almost like a James Bond movie. Because honestly, James Bond, boobs. Hell, there was... We saw almost an entire backside of a woman in this film as she got got out of the tub. It went way far down. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is awful spicy for Disney, but it's totally Disney. So I would put this on par with a James Bond movie, mostly. Maybe more a Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie, but there's so much humor in it, and there. I'm done gushing over this.
This is what somebody happens else... when we record when Pete's at happy hour.
Yeah.
It's
he's got the brain scramblies right now. Dude,
I always have the brain scramblies. Yeah. I'm just a little more vocal tonight with my brain scramblies.
he's got more to say about this than any of the ones he picked.
Yeah, I know, right?
This movie. This is a wonderful movie.
All right. Before I mute Pete, Parker, what about you, bud? What was your first experience with Three Musketeers?
This was one my grandma had on VHS when I was growing up. Because when this movie came out, I was like a year and a half, so I wasn't going to see this in the theater. Yes, Pete, I don't want to make you feel old.
Good. Make him feel old. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
She had it on VHS, so of course
I have more experience.
It's fair.
Y'all can be jealous. I saw all the Star Wars movies in the theater, so
I am jealous.
Okay, you guys are riling him up again,
I'm
Parker.
Getting riled
continue.
Up.
I to be honest though, growing up, I probably have only seen this a couple times, and watching it for this podcast was the first time since I was a kid that I had seen it. It wasn't something that I ever really cared to go back to watch because, for one, I'm not the biggest fan of Chris O'Donnell, and Chris O'Donnell is a focal point in this movie, and there's only so much of him I could take before I want to drive my head through a wall because he's
shirtless
just
Chris O'Donnell.
Just because he's such a bad actor. He's just so bad.
He's not good. He's definitely not good.
you know, between this and Batman and Robin, ugh, I'm enough of Chris O'Donnell. But no, everybody else, fantastic. I had a lot of fun growing up watching this movie. But yeah, it's definitely not one that I, you know, it lived, you know, rent free in my head or was mm-hmm. like something I looked back fondly on. Like, you know what? I had a great time with that. It was like, I watched it. I had a good time. And now I'm here talking about it with you guys.
There we go.
Full history.
Life has done you well, Parker. Let me tell you. You've come full circle with us.
All right. Nate, what about you, Bubba?
I suppose I should let Charlie drive.
I'm about to put you in the trunk.
When you said that, you know, you wanted to do this one, I was on board.
Still hear me.
Because the cast is amazing. It truly is a wonderful cast, and I'll watch anything of Oliver Platt in it. I think yesterday might have been my first time watching it. I don't know if I've seen this.
Really?
Yeah, like I really, what I have more of a history with is The Musketeer from 2001, because I remember my dad and I watching that a lot, because it has a lot of really great stunt work. I haven't seen it in forever, but it has some really horrendous reviews. So I'm like, is this really the movie that I remember liking?
Wait. Three Musketeers has bad reviews?
No, The Musketeer from 2001.
Okay.
Tim Roth's the Musketeer. Biggest name.
Yes, okay. I haven't seen that one in a long time.
But I remember that having like really great like firework and stuff like that. Yeah. And then the other ones, like I remember it is Three Musketeers, technically, The Man, The Iron Mask, but that was another movie I've never seen. Like I've never watched that one.
Was DiCaprio, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like that came out.
That was Three Musketeers, though. I mean, that was Three Musketeers. Yep. Okay, all right.
Same characters.
I mean, that's the Iron Maiden, or
they changed the story up a little bit to be more along the lines of the twin brother aspect of it. But
okay,
it literally has Athos, Porthos, Aramis, and D'Artagnan in the movie.
They're all in it. Okay. Which I'm curious, because I think Jeremy Irons plays D'Artagnan in that one.
I don't know. I think he might play Aramis or Athos, one of those two.
There's three of them. He's playing one of
Jeremy,
them.
Jeremy Irons is in it, yes.
Yeah. But
Jeremy
then,
Irons in anything.
As I'm watching this, I'm like, man, this is a really fun just precursor to Pirates of the Caribbean. It's hitting all the same type of beats that, you know, we were going to see happen later on with Disney. And I was like, man, who made this? And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, crap. Stephen Hurkins is like a guy that's made a bunch of movies I loved as a kid. Critters, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, The Mighty Ducks. I even really liked Mr. Holland's Opus as a kid. 101 Dalmatians.
The live action 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. And then
when
after
the live
that,
actions were good. Yeah.
After that, he really went downhill.
Into the Blue 2.
Super downhill after that and made a lot of really bad movies. He might be responsible for ruining Eddie Murphy's career on top of Eddie Murphy ruining his own career.
Like Haunted Mansion, Eddie Murphy.
Holy Man, Eddie Murphy.
Oh. Which,
yeah. It's a
not
really
Golden
bad
Child,
movie.
Eddie Murphy. Holy Man.
I
Eddie
like
Murphy.
Golden Child. All right. Yeah, I remember too. Loving that as a kid. So yeah, I don't have much history with Three Musketeers other than being like, oh, cool. David from Lost Boys is a fancy pants. Cool. And that, like, you don't have to worry about anyone in this movie going, oh, oui, baguette, so, like, nothing like that.
This was a time when movies would, they're like, it's set in, like, this movie's set in France, well, the story is, and they're just like, we don't give it, we not
don't
force
care.
Anyone to use an accent.
Have you heard Charlie Sheen try to do an accent? All he can do is lines of coke. Yeah.
It's not great.
Didn't we get Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves at about this time? And
I think so.
And Kevin Costner just didn't give
it was in and out. And then there was that one movie.
I'm not going to do an English accent. Screw that.
That movie with Sean Connery, was it?
First Night.
First Night, with Richard Gere.
Yeah, Richard Gere, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that gerbil.
I saw that in the theater too.
The gerbil wasn't in that movie.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, kids, show.
Oh wait, yeah, kid friendly.
Charlie, you're up. I'm driving, so you're up.
What the heck is going on? Jeez.
You drive all the time.
No, I haven't driven in weeks.
Yeah, you backseat driver.
Good Lord. This is my pick. I brought this.
Go run some laps. Because I was a little puzzled when you said Three Musketeers, because like Parker, him, at least you have seen it before, but like I was just like, ah, I don't think this is something I would have ever visited before.
I was down. Charlie said Three Musketeers. I was down. I'm like, yep, let's do this.
I don't know why he just keeps going.
I like
Charlie. I'd really like to know what you thought about Three Musketeers and the history behind said movie.
Love.
Please regale us with your history and your what this movie means to you and how it has enriched your life over the years, over the many years that this movie has been out. I'm running out of things. Nate, help me out.
I'm just waiting until you run out of things.
I want Charlie to, regale us with all of her plat tales.
This is going to be a 2-hour long episode just with Pete going nuts. So we were a Disney household, man. If a movie came out, one of the few that we bought more than we rented when it came to Disney movies.
Those clamshell VHS.
Always the clamshell. Matter of fact, my Three Musketeers was the clamshell VHS.
Now, every boomer's like, that's worth thousands of dollars,
No, it's not.
They made millions of them. They're not worth anything. Even if they have a misprint, they're worth an extra 5 cents. Like,
yeah,
please calm down, everyone.
Yeah, it's never going to be worth that. Maybe sealed you'll get $10, but
your 90s X-Men comics are going to be worth a lot, Charlie.
Thanks a lot, Layfield.
I spent on X-Men comics.
So we always pick these up. Now, Three Musketeers was one we rented first when it came out. I fell in love with this movie. I love sword movies. You know, just anything with like swashbuckling and sword play, I was over the moon for. This is like right around my Highlander phase where I was watching the TV show and stuff like that. And this was after we rented it. I'm pretty sure we bought it like maybe a month or two later, probably for like a birthday or Christmas. And this became the family movie. Like if it's like, there's nothing on TV tonight, Three Musketeers got put on and we would all sit there and watch this movie. I wore this tape out. Like this is one that I would just constantly watch. This was the one I watched before I got Wayne's World on tape and watched Wayne's World all the time. This was Three Musketeers. I watched it all the damn time. And when we were talking about kid-friendly entry movies, you know, we were tossing around the usual suspects, but I was like, man, Three Musketeers has just about everything you want in like a good adventure/action movie.
Fully agree.
And then
it really is just entertaining.
It's funny. It's got some pretty dramatic parts. It's got some kind of scary parts to it. It's one that gets your adrenaline going. I'll be honest, just from the second we said we were doing it, I have been looking forward to watching it. And I know this movie like the back of my hand. Ask Jackie. I was repeating all the lines last night. She goes, you've seen this once or twice. I was like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, but I was excited to watch it.
How is Jackie surprised that you don't know a movie like the back of your hand?
I think it still catches her off guard that I can do it verbatim and like seconds before. So I'm not repeating it. I'm saying it just before they say it. Even the tone and the tenor of how they say it. This was one that I was like, this is perfect. This is one I want to cover. And it's a Disney movie, man. How often are we going to get to do one of those?
How often are we going to get a Disney movie that tells you how to winch?
Right, winching. But that was the other reason why this is so good as an action beginner one is you're going to witness death. You're going to witness, stabbings and some more adult, mature themes. And this one has it, yet it's still playful enough throughout it. You're still excited enough. And a lot of kids, especially kids my age, you got to the end of this movie and you're sitting there going, this is a Star Wars ending, and it's literally a Star Wars ending.
It's like, I need a stick. That way I can start swinging it at other people, and I'll get in a stick fight with my sibling.
Dude, it's constant sword fights, dude. Constant, man.
The thing that really had me entertained yesterday was it has very Buster Keaton like stunts. These mm-hmm. aren't, you know, crazy John Wick type stunts, but there are domino effect stunts where it's like one thing happens that leads to another thing happening, which leads to another person like mm-hmm. falling off a ladder who then hits a bucket, which swings the bucket around, hits that person in the head. They hit something else. The frying pan launches in the air. And it's just like that type of directing is very special. And I don't yeah. feel like we see it too Buster much Keaton, because
Jackie Chan, I think you're onto something there.
You have
and,
this
and
you, level.
That translates into the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah, exactly. Later, and that's what it was.
Where there is a Rube Goldberg sort of contraption that leads to this and that, and then something silly or.
Yeah. It's cause and effect stunts.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Yeah, and for sure.
Having it to where it has to be directed in such a way to make A plus B equals C happen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you got to do that just right. So your stunt team has to be on point, even if these aren't the vicious, crazy action stunts. But there's stuff that as a kid, you'd be like, A, you're laughing at still as an adult, but like you're entertained by, oh, how did they pull that off? How did they do that? Like, I mean, Chris O'Donnell is literally throwing sandbags off people off a high ledge, hitting people, and they're falling yeah. off their horse. It's just like,
oh my head.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Causing concussions.
The one punch knockout yeah. is.
Oh, that's prevalent. The other thing. So Dude, many one punch knockouts.
One punch knockouts in this thing. And that's. And I'm
brain damage for all. That's what these fists give.
Completely fine with the one punch knockouts in this movie. We don't need realism.
You get knocked out so hard, you wake up in a completely different location. that's how hard that one punch is.
I think the thing I love about this movie is the fact that like these characters, they're not like these buff, like badass looking guys.
Yes.
Like I think the most badass guy is Kiefer Sutherland. Like look wise,
he's the most intense.
You have Oliver. Like, I love Oliver Platt, but you have Oliver Platt as like this badass swashbuckler.
Yeah, he's like, not this hulking dude I would think of. Yeah, he's the doughboy.
But he's yeah. very tall.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got
a presence.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the goofball aspect of it. I also love it's so subtle, but you know, they're supposed to be the Three Musketeers, so you believe there's this brotherhood, but there's this special bond that Porthos and Aramis have because they always mm-hmm. like clang swords mm-hmm. as they get ready to go do something. It's kind of like the high
five.
They've
got history. Yep.
There is a history, mm-hmm. a deeper brotherhood than, you know, just being a musketeer. And I love that, man. It was just something that, you know, as a kid of the 90s, man, you wanted that bond. You know, we were, you know, we always had our core best friends. So you kind of mm-hmm. had that, you know, experience as kids. So it talks to you instead of down to you, which is also another good reason that this is a good kid friendly family movie. My dad loves the heck out of this movie. Like, it's just a fun adventure. There's enough stuff to keep adults entertained mm-hmm. and the kids glued to the screen. There are some, I hate even calling them slow parts in the movie because they're actually pushing the story along.
They're peppered throughout where there were some parts where it's
not
a little sluggish.
It's not drawn out, but as a kid, they were quickly done enough that, okay, there's a little bit of boring, but I don't want to leave because boom, something is going to happen, you know, within 30, 40 seconds or a minute or two. As an adult watching it now, you're like, wow, a lot of the darker, you know, with like the Cardinal
yeah.
with his, you know, plot and everything going
the
on.
The action was short enough to keep the attention and not confuse young viewers.
It also helps with the bright colors. You got the blue are the good guys and the red are the bad guys.
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
Oh, Star Wars again.
Yeah, and then you had...
Right.
Very much Star Wars because you have the Cardinal who is kind of like the Emperor, and then you have Michael Wincott who is Darth Vader in a way. Like he's all black and he is
eye patch.
Yep.
You didn't catch that because they literally turn him into Darth Vader at the end
of the movie. I didn't catch that until Parker said something.
D'Artagnan, when they're doing their, you know, I know we're light speeding, but it's topical. When they're having their final sword battle between D'Artagnan and Rushlow.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
you watch it during the sword fight, D'Artagnan jumps over him and does a flip, which is a frame for frame copy of Luke flipping over top of Darth Vader.
Impressive, doesn't he?
And then Rushlow goes, impressive, exactly like Darth Vader does. Then he reveals, I have killed your father. And while D'Artagnan is laying there on the ground, you don't see Constance throw the sword.
You don't.
The sword appears in his hand as if using the force and stabs him. So this is a complete homage to, and let's be fair, also, Star Wars probably took quite a bit from the Three Musketeers as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Swashbuckling and swordplay. So it's fair.
I wouldn't say Lucas stole. He absorbed a lot of other storytelling. Well,
he was a big nerd. When you're a big nerd, that other people aren't nerds, and you introduce that nerds to other stuff, that's what happens.
Those movies were
a great story together, and that's not taking anything away from
were his Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like we now have Star Wars. That's what he had to create Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's a lot of homages to that. So yeah, a lot of the Tim Curry being more of an emperor, you know. But man, that dude can play slime.
Tim Curry?
God, yes.
Tim Curry, I want to marry that man. He is
greasy, slimy in this movie.
Is he the best villain? Like, the best slimy villain ever? Because he's not like a big Bane kind of a character. Yeah,
he's not like a threat in the terms of like, right, he's going to beat up all the four Musketeers.
He's got to rely on everybody around him to protect him.
The snake in the court that's going to bite slowly others and they're all going to die.
He's what Littlefinger wishes he could do.
Uh-huh.
In Game of Thrones.
But he's also
a sniper.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's also not afraid to shoot you directly in the chest when you get in his way, you know? So that was a big shocker as a kid that to be expecting him to just pull a gun out from under his robes, you know, and shoot Charlie Sheen right in the chest. So, you know, I love that.
When I saw that scene again, I'm like, doesn't he shoot him here? I think he shoots bang. Oh my God, this is so good because that's exactly what your slime ball ass would do. It's exactly what you would do. That's exactly what this cardinal would do, is take a pot shot at him instead of fight him on the level.
But even like things like, you know, hang that painting back in my chambers. Looks better this way. You know, with the bullet hole between the eyes. Well, obviously, you know, Tim Curry, he's going to get the best lines.
My favorite part with Tim Curry is when he meets the king after the king has done sword fighting, and the king tells him, he's like, I've heard rumors about you. And he's like, oh, well, I've heard them too. Tell me what you've heard. And he never denies the rumors throughout this whole thing. He tells the truth and he dances around it to the point where the king's like, yeah, I knew they weren't real. I knew they
were
even
like amidst the war, like, oh, they've said that, but they also said this, and this.
Yeah.
And on top of it, he peppers a few like, so, and a griffin also threw it.
Right. He throws in ostentatious things.
I rode a unicorn off to defeat a dragon, and I'm also macking on your wife.
And when the king is like, oh, you're right, this is obviously ridiculous, you're not capable of that, the look of disdain on Curry's face when he says that, like, if you only knew, like, if you know, you're so easily manipulated.
This is also maybe why we shouldn't have leaders at the age of like 14. Because, like, if you're, like, a really bad leader at that age, because you're like, okay, he's not bad.
You had royal 14, blood, and you were, even in Egypt, I mean, Tutankhamun was emperor or whatever, pharaoh at 12 or something like that.
I'm going to throw a number out. 77 and above, you should not run for president. I don't know. Maybe there's just, some things that should be said.
That sounded very specifically
over a certain age. But yes, old white doesn't need to be president.
Kid anyway. Friendly, guys. Come on.
What? We are being very topical that a little kid should not be king.
Let's get back to the movie.
I did not expect this out of you guys tonight. Like, I don't know what is happening.
We are gushing over this movie. Yeah. You've chosen a movie that we all clearly love.
You are gushing. Not just in general.
One of the things that I really enjoy. So, it's based off Alexandra Dumas's novel, who also wrote The Count of Monte Cristo, which I absolutely love that novel and movie with Guy Pearce.
Cristo, not Crisco.
I was just gonna say it's
not Crisco.
Oh my god, that's
not Crisco.
That's it. That's a lard based.
There's a
you mean to tell me in 10th grade when I did my book report on that?
You go to the library, you look at the cover, and it's just a dude holding Crisco. You're like, I don't think this is right.
Excuse me. All right. Hey, you know what? That teacher that did not correct me, she's a bully. All right. She's really a bully because she should have corrected little 14-year-old Nate.
Count of Monte Cristo. Wow.
What?
There's a T. Cristo.
Yeah.
Count of Monte Cristo.
You could have even gone to the sandwich instead of the
You learn things every day.
He's fact-checking us right now, as if we made that up. I don't.
Well, I had to make sure.
Don't Google on the podcast. That's not good.
No, I've got to Google just to make sure.
Pete's Googling enough to now as it is, so we don't need any more Google.
Before we got sidetracked at my teacher failing to teach me.
Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes, that one. The thing with this story is it does feel like everything you've seen before. But you can't falter it because this is one of the original good versus evil stories.
Not sure.
But we've seen it so many different times that by the time 93 comes around, it's just a fresh coat of paint on something that you've seen over and over again. And even now in 2024, it's still just a very basic good versus evil, but it works and it's fun. So I've got no complaints with it.
Because they put the right pieces into this movie.
Yes.
You got Tim Curry.
Yes.
You have this cast alone is what draws you in. To me, it's like these type of movies aren't really my forte. Like, I watch them if it has a good cast, and this has a great cast. So that draws me in. And then I have a blast just watching all of these actors doing what they do best, especially Tim Curry. He chews up every scene he's in. He's talking through his teeth. He's got the laugh. You're just in love with how evil
Tim Parker, Curry is. Who doesn't chew the scenes while they're in it? Minus Tim O'Day.
Yeah. Even his goatee does not belong in this movie.
They're all except I'll agree with you there. That everyone else is just having a blast. O'Donnell, I think, is trying real hard.
Well, he's the eye candy of the movie.
He's always
problem with Chris O'Donnell in this
the
movie.
Eye candy of this one.
No, I think Chris O'Donnell is really
Tim Curry.
Well, he took
the
his shirt off, and
he's a lot better in this than he is in the Batman movies. And I know that they're very different.
That's
movies.
Where we're always hung up because, like, oh god, he was Robin.
That's not.
And
I
understand
I don't
that they're completely
that.
Different movies.
Yeah.
But I've seen other things with him where I'm like, nope, that's just how he acts. That's just him. That's not the movie's fault.
Kind of him in Vertical Limit too. I get you. I mean, I'm not
that's
saying
like my favorite
wrong.
Movie with him is Vertical Limit. I love
right,
that movie.
But it's still. Kind of,
yes,
you know,
sin of a woman, but that's mainly because Al Pacino is just batshit crazy whole time. Yeah,
that's not fair.
That's not fair. I was gonna say,
No, the other big scene chewer though is Oliver Platt in this, which is where I think we get 90% of our comedy in this.
Yep.
I mean,
Abdul.
I love a duel. I got this from the Queen of America. There's no Queen of America. We are on quite intimate terms.
Admiral of Japan and whatever.
The Tsar, the Tsarina of Japan.
That's what
it's always a woman. It's always, he knows women all over. He's a pirate.
He's a pirate. Arr.
I told you I was a pirate.
The payoff.
Yes.
The payoff of how much they're like
famous.
I told you I was famous.
And when people finally see him and recognize him, scream and run away.
Or jump off the boat.
Wait, Oliver Platt? Is that who we're scared of right now?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? That dude pulled out bolas. He had a crossbow. He was Batman. No wonder Chris O'Donnell got the part as Robin. He's like, I've already worked with Batman. It was Oliver Platt. You know, because that dude had a utility belt. He had a gun that had a knife. And it's the first time he's ever used it because he looks at it and goes, I like this. You know, just all
stab, 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 stab,
stab. That goes right. I want to believe on what Pete was going on a rant about James Bond for some reason, but I think Porthos has a cue somewhere that just makes up cool gadgets and Porthos gets to try them out.
I want to see a movie with just Porthos in it now. This is
His fight scene with the ugly big guy in the dungeon.
My God.
One of the best scenes of the movie.
Oh, it's such a good fight scene.
This is one of those really violent parts where you're like, oh, wow. Like, the soldier gets impaled, and then he brings the other one down. You're like, wow.
That's where you guys were like, there's no blood in this. I'm like, there's blood coming out of that.
I forgot about that blood. But it was the fact that, A, you see all the spikes going to his back. You're like, oh, wow. All right. He's dead. And then you have the surprise reaction and the rest of it coming out. I was like, oh, wow, they double tapped him.
That's the horror movie element right there out of nowhere. That's like, he's not dead yet. And then it's the jump scare of him yelling and then bam, done. This movie has everything you could want. Like it is, aside from some, you know, acting choices by some people, like Charlie Sheen was filming Hot Shots Part 2 right before production started. So he missed out on the 6 weeks of fencing training that everyone went
interesting.
On. So if you watch the movie and pay attention, he uses the sword, but then he always reverts to fighting hand-to-hand, like punching people.
Right.
And it's also why they made the choice of doing what they did with him to hide him on the boat at the end. He doesn't need as many fight scenes, so he can be off camera for a while.
Interesting.
And put him over there.
So crazy to know that in the early 90s, Charlie Sheen was in such demand that directors had to work around him. And Charlie Sheen.
He was leaning
I know. He was.
None of these are like
nepotism will get you far in life.
Well, it will.
Charlie Sheen had the looks and the charisma to do both comedy and action, or
and drama.
Why Hot Shots works so well?
Right. Yeah,
Charlie Sheen could do it all. I regardless of what he is today.
Well, honestly, if it hadn't been for drugs, I mean, imagine where he would be now. You know,
right?
3 and a Half Men.
No, I just meant get rid of.
Figured that by now it'd be like a sequel to the show. You know,
there is a sequel to the show. They killed him and brought in Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, but it was still called 2 and a Half Men. So
because they got rid of one and added another. That's how math works.
It's still but like in my head, the math is like the half man is now a man, and then he had a kid, and that'd be the sequel show. It's
Charlie. But when you kill one. He's done.
Yeah.
Isn't it time for a break?
Thanks for driving. I think it's time for a commercial break.
Appreciate this is a lot of fun. I thank you for letting me drive today. This is wonderful.
I'm not being facetious at all.
I think Pete's got a little tiger blood in him. Remember that reference?
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Flicks and Friends podcast. I'm Dustin.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Sean. Join us each week as we sift through movies and discuss a variety of theme months and determine whether they're blockbusters or blockbusted.
Previous themes include Animation Month, 80s horror, and under 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, just to name a few. We have weekly guests, fan favorites, and new guests happen all the time over here. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
But until next time, I'm still Dustin.
And I'm still Paul.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the Flicks and Friends podcast.
In a world filled with bad movies, two men risk it all to bring you a podcast that covers the very worst of cinema.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Join these unlikely heroes as they deep dive into Z-movie classics.
I am Torgo. I take care of the place while the Master is away.
Cheesy action films.
I will send you to hell.
I've been there for 10 years!
Badly dubbed Italian horror.
Mother, this closet smells of death.
Right through to modern cinematic catastrophes.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!
Dominic Lawton.
Oh, my God!
Can be wild.
We have such sights to show you.
Ah, the Bad Movie Cult. Available every 2 weeks wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Not saying nothing. Charlie's driving.
I was about to say I tried to get him tied and gagged, but he got out somehow. So I don't know.
He's very slippery.
He is.
Covered
he's
in oil.
I'm
for
a
some
little
reason.
Guy and I'm flexible. Yeah, I'm really not.
It's like that dude from Family Guy.
Yeah.
You're not gonna catch me. You're not gonna catch me. I'm Pete. Forget about it.
The greasy deaf guy. Yeah.
Back
greased
it.
Greased up naked deaf guy.
Yep. So Pete's I do got a question for everyone.
Drunk guy. All right, what's the question, Nate?
Has anyone seen the one from 1973 with Christopher Lee?
No.
This is
literally the only one other than the Mickey Mouse one.
I'm curious to see it because of Christopher Lee.
I would love to see it because Christopher Lee's in it. I'm going to go look
I have it. Yeah. seen it, but we're probably talking maybe 30 well, years ago.
He plays the character that the bad guy from The Crow plays, so the Darth Vader Ooh. Character. Yeah.
Or that's just
Rocher. I don't French name.
Rochelot, yeah.
Yeah, they don't
Top
even
dollar.
Rochefort. Rochefort.
Exactly.
Yeah. We just call him Top Dollar, which took a long time for me to ever realize that that was the same dude.
Oh, it took me like halfway through the movie. I went, why does that dude's voice sound so familiar? And it's not Vincent Castle.
He does an accent in this movie, and he doesn't talk as low as he usually does. Like when you watch The Crow or anything else Michael Wincott's in.
Yeah.
He has that very deep voice, where this one he was trying. I think he was trying something different, maybe to the point that people weren't able to recognize him, because knew it was him because I saw his name in the credit.
Which guy?
The guy with the eye patch. That's Top Dollar from The Crow.
Hold on. His voice is lower normally.
Yeah, yes. Dude.
Yeah.
A lot.
He
has
alien resurrection.
Oh, he's doing this.
Not since 1998.
he's also in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He's the sheriff's
Is he really?
He's the sheriff's cousin, because he's the one that's like, why a spoon, cousin?
Well, you just watched that one because of this, so.
I've spent all weekend
since I was a kid
watching sword movies. Like, I watched the 2011 Three Musketeers.
Well, that's your thing. I didn't know that was a thing until I was looking it up, seeing
did you watch Men in Tights?
A sequel.
Yes, I did watch Men in Tights. But, Nate. One day when you make me mad, we're going to watch the 2011 Three Musketeers movie, because it's got your favorite director of all time.
I saw it. It was Paul W.S. Anderson. And also I was like, how did this come out? And I didn't know about it. And it must have just came and went like that, because
dude, it's got Ray Stevenson, Mila Jovovich, Orlando Bloom.
That makes sense.
The kid from Percy Jackson.
Stevenson, the guy that wrote
played
Guitar
Punisher?
Zan?
No, that's Ray Stevens.
Oh.
This is Punisher. He plays Porthos. He makes a good Porthos in the movie.
He just passed away last year.
That movie literally has warships made out of blimps. Just going to leave that. Blimps.
What is it, steampunk?
Hot air blimps.
Kind of.
Sounds like steampunk, yeah.
Kind of steampunk.
Did it have better editing than any of his Resident Evil movies that give
probably not.
That get me nauseous?
Nope. Kinds of slow-mo.
Each sequel just keeps killing characters off camera, and you're like, where's that person? It's like they just didn't want to return to the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, you want to see the best editing tactic? When two people fight on top of a vehicle, and instead of just going wide shot and spinning around them, they're going, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And you're like,
how many cuts can we put in a movie?
Hey, That got our buddy Sean Roberts some work. So let's
Love Sean Roberts.
Listen, yes. I can't
go watch Here for Blood.
How bad those movies are.
Yeah, that's all Paul W.S. Anderson's fault. I bet if I would have asked him, like, does he suck? He probably would have gave me a wink.
He gave us a little clue. He's like, I can't say it out loud.
He's like, I had a great time.
I'd have got that clip back and it would have been pre-edited. I wouldn't have even got the chance to edit that out.
Oh, man.
But no, I spent all weekend just because I was like, I am in a sword fighting mood. I watched everything with sword fights. Yes, I watched Men in Tights. You can't watch Prince of Thieves and not go.
Oh, no. When you said you're watching Robin Hood, I went Men in Tights. You went, no, Prince of Thieves.
Because you have to finish the joke. I can actually speak with an English accent. That's indeed. You have to finish the joke after the Kevin Costner
it's
movie.
It's such a good joke. Like, that's the best joke. That's one of the best jokes that Mel Brooks
the best
has
joke
ever
is
written.
When the fire arrows are hitting the houses. They're like, who keeps doing this? And it says, like, written and directed by Mel Brooks. They're like, damn you, Mel Brooks!
Leave us alone, Mel Brooks. Now we're talking about Men in Tights.
I feel like that counts as an action movie. It's got swords and bows and arrows. We could cover it.
It does. No, it's good.
It fits in with this film.
We've talked about her attributes, but I don't think we've ever even actually said her
attributes.
This has Rebecca
DeMornay.
She's not
a creative character from a video game.
Might as well be, but Rebecca DeMornay's in this. As Milady, the Winter, he calls her Sabine, which is weird. They never give you anything about that, and it's not one of her aliases in any of, you know, like the books or the other movies. They just said Sabine in here, so I don't know if we're supposed to understand.
Question.
Yeah.
It's for kids. No one cares.
She's on the cliff, and they're going to execute her, but the Musketeers aren't handcuffed, and... Then they go, no, stop. And then they go, okay, I guess we'll let these two talk for a little bit.
The
and
Musketeers just... weren't arrested. Why would they be handcuffed?
But I was confused as to why she still jumped.
She because wanted to go out on her own.
Yeah, was going to get killed regardless. Like, Kiefer Sutherland.
The Musketeers would have been
she's
like,
dead.
Don't.
She knows she's dead.
No, because they don't have that power.
They don't.
Kiefer Sutherland literally tells her, I can't stop this. This is inevitable.
Yeah. I can't stop this.
I was so puzzled by that because I'm like, what? You were able to stop the execution.
She made her
from happening.
Bed and she was captured. And
all right,
I'm sorry.
Why are they killing her? Maybe I missed something.
Okay.
She's an assassin.
She's an assassin?
Okay. I'm done. Charlie's driving. I'm not driving no more. I'm going to drink my beer.
I'm confused. I feel like I missed something. And
you should be confused
movie.
Because you're Nate.
So, Aramis and her were together early on, husband and wife.
They were married.
She was accused of killing someone wrongfully. It's the only time I think she was ever telling the truth. And he put her out. That's the whole story he's telling D'Artagnan in the bar. That is his history with her without saying names. He's not saying this is me happening. That's why D'Artagnan, when he sees the fleur-de-lis branded on her shoulder, he puts two and two together like, oh crap, I know who you are. The other guy chasing her that captures her is the Count de Winter's brother, who they reference in there that she killed him because there's the cardinal says, well done removing the count, you know, from whatever plot they were doing before. So the brother has to kill her. Like, that's a matter of honor. It's to, you know, get the name back for his brother. And all Aramis can do is get the information on the plot because she's the only one that knows when the assassination is going to happen. Like, they already got the treaty from her, everything. And so he is also ridden with guilt that he stops the execution so he can ask her for forgiveness. That's why he goes, please forgive me, relating to him putting her out originally and then she following this life of crime or whatever you want to call it.
Interesting.
She forgives him, but she's going to die. And instead of being executed, she leaves on her own terms. Like Pete said, this is also the first movie in Disney history that someone commits suicide. On screen. Mm-hmm.
That's something.
And the camera follows her down like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Again, super dark for a Disney movie.
I just thought it was an execution with extra steps, but I guess that is suicide. No.
The Musketeers are honor bound. That's why they're even still doing
that. That's why I was like, why are they just beating this dude up?
Because they're honor bound to the what's right, and what that guy is doing based on those laws was right. She had committed.
There's another dude that's trying to get justice for his sister, but all he's doing the whole time is screaming, D'Artagnan, no!
Which, honestly, he's the one with the least amount of honor because D'Artagnan beat him. Like, D'Artagnan's the one that spared his life, and then they keep chasing him. Like,
that guy thinks he's the real villain the whole movie.
No.
I don't know. He comes back at the end. I do that like that.
That guy plays two characters in this movie.
That is such a fantastic B-roll and the other
movie. Does he play another like guard or something?
Yeah, he's one of the Cardinals guards. Yeah,
there's a lot of that.
It's a very silly wraparound from the start to the end of the movie. At the beginning of the movie, it's one on one. At the end of the movie, it's 100-on-1 or something.
The brother that you see in the background has the bandages around his head the entire movie. You know, it's the running gag, and we get the payoff, and you also get all of the Musketeers chasing these guys down the street.
It might not be phenomenal. Good writing, but it's common writing. It's writing that makes sense in a lot of film. It's not that this hasn't been done before 100 times, but a gag like that.
It's a feel good moment.
It has been done a bajillion times. I think the Muppet movie did it a bunch of times.
That's the other thing, because so Tim Curry was in, what was it, Muppet Treasure Island. I was like, you could do that same Tim Curry, the Three Musketeers being Muppets as well.
Is there a bad movie that Tim Curry is in? Period.
We just covered
on Good Beer Bad Movie Night, Legend with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry. Yeah. And let me tell you, that movie's bad, but Tim Curry is fabulous.
Yeah, Tim Curry is what?
Fabulous. He's so good.
Bad is the bad way. The bad way to call what Legend is. Legend is just weird and nonsensical half the time.
Nonsensical is a very good word for it.
But
Tim
Curry, the devil, it's not the devil.
Devil's sweet. Doesn't Tangerine Orange do the
there's two different theme? Soundtracks.
Oh, really?
There's the regular one, and then there's the Tangerine Dream. The girl that's in Legend is the wife of Jean-Claude Van Damme in Time Cop.
Oh, she's also the girlfriend in Ferris Bueller.
Yes. That's how I can
tell. And I don't remember her name. I'm a terrible person.
I don't know. As a kid of the 90s, man, Tim Curry is just the villain most of the
time. He was Nigel in Wild Thornberries, though, which I love.
Yes.
Smashing.
But, you know, he was in Home Alone 2. He's the reason, you know, Kevin gets out at the end of there. I love him in Clue as the butler. You know, this man just
doesn't.
He's
love
it.
His cadence. His cadence in this, I was like, oh my God, you're Dr. Frankenfurter in this movie. A number of times how he's like, well, that can be arranged. And that's straight out of Rocky
Horror.
When he
loses his temper, that was so good. So good.
You'll get that in spades or something.
Even like, because the way his robes are, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like when he walks, it almost looks like he has a floating aura to him as well. Yeah. Like from the way that his garments are.
That's what robes were meant to do with the Catholic Church. They were supposed to be regaliant.
Otherworldly vibe.
Yeah, yes. Like they're not walking; they're floating.
Yeah,
indeed. Right. Yes.
And also, you can hide a pistol underneath there. You guys want to know how long it took me to get the joke with her holding the knife to his junk? About changing his religion.
Mm-hmm.
Last night.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't get it. So if anyone wants to explain that way, I could be like now.
If she circumcises him, he's not Catholic anymore.
Not Catholic.
Okay.
the Jewish faith is mm-hmm. well known for circumcising, which is a different religion.
Well, I didn't know it was a religion thing with circumcision. So, like, it's just
That's how it started.
So, if you chop them, then you right, might be.
Which is the joke in
Minute? Learned something today.
You snip the tip.
It's not different. Crisco. You and don't then chop, if you...
Nate. You don't chop. You snip the tip.
Just a snip. You don't snip the tip.
It's just the skin. That's the whole joke in Men in Tights because he's the rabbi doing circumcision.
Hawk.
Yeah. Well,
oh, you're just
more
cutting.
Like,
you're just cutting around. You're just cutting some skin.
Yep.
I had no idea my one thing was going to kid friendly, guys. Kid friendly.
Well,
come on.
With an axe and like a log, and you lay it down and you executioner style.
No, Nate. What? Stop it.
Look, man, it's the French. How am I supposed to know what they do?
Yeah, cigar cutter. That's all it is. It's
yeah, just like in Darkman.
Tip. You don't chop through. Off a cigar. You just
not all the way through. Just okay. Stop it. We're dwelling. All it was is Charlie didn't get the joke till last night.
I just got the joke now because apparently religions do stuff like this.
Religions are weird. And
yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
This is what happens when you don't grow up in a household that knows these kind of things.
Who knew we would learn it from Disney instead? So
yeah, exactly. Thank you, Disney, for keep on giving me the things, Walt.
Thanks, Mickey.
Let's learn about circumcisions.
Can you also teach me about deep freezing a human being to come back in the future to take over?
Oh, gosh. There you go. And we are going to get our first official cease and desist from Disney thanks to that.
I hope so.
All right.
Well, no, as long as that was the Steamboat Willie, we're fine.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If it's just Mickey, we can abuse Mickey all we want, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm wearing the hat.
That's the only one.
I'm wearing the hat and I don't have gloves on, so I'm the steamboat. All right.
So we have been
all over this movie. Is there any topic of the movie we haven't covered yet before we get into the things?
Three duels in one day. It's just
that
all perfectly timed out an hour.
Yeah,
apiece.
I know the fact that each one.
It's like they talked. They knew this was a plan.
All right, if you ever get in a duel, you do it at noon. Then if you get one, you do it at 1. And if you do it, you'll do it at 2. We'll show up at each other's duels afterwards. So that gives us time.
It's impressive that it was all the same wherever they were. Like they all said behind the church at 12.
That's 1 outside 2. Of city limits, basically, is what they're trying
whatever,
to do.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Did they all say the same exact spot? Or was
it was different spots.
The same time,
and then they were just there.
Weird. But they all showed up at the same time because they each had, like, Porthos had 2 more hours of drinking and wenching before he.
Well, they were their seconds, so obviously he would have went with Aramis, you know, or
that's
Athos
fair.
To
that's
do because he was a second. To this day, I made this observation when I was a kid because I always remember this and I still say it every time when D'Artagnan and Porthos get into it, and he said, and Porthos looks at me and goes, make sure you bring a long wooden box. And D'Artagnan goes, you bring one too. And I'm even as a kid, I went, that is the worst comeback ever.
It was bad.
As a kid, I looked at my mom, and I went, why wouldn't you say, okay, how tall are you? And that would have been.
Well, that's because you're a clever kid, I guess, because that's a good one. I would have thought of that.
I have said that since I was 13 watching this movie because I was like, why would I, you bring one too, instead of, okay, how tall are you? Which is just,
if
need to know how tall you are for the wooden box, you know?
If D'Artagnan was a veteran dueler, I think that's exactly what he would have said. But being not even a musketeer at that time.
Petulant,
still,
more or less,
he was still
what
figuring,
he is
he was still figuring out his comebacks. And I thought most of his comebacks were pretty good.
Oh, I think he quit very well for what he was.
He stood his ground pretty well. I also think that, like, what the hell is going on in France? Like, is everybody just, like, I'm going to kill you? I
think that's something.
Okay.
I mean,
that's one thing.
If it is, wow, I don't want to live in France. That's like,
well, that might be why they kept killing their kings. But at the end of the movie,
the French
where
love their revolutions.
They love just protesting, let me tell you.
They love their revolutions. But and I support their revolutions.
The Musketeers get disbanded, so they throw down their cape and they throw down their sword.
They then burn their capes, on, by
yes,
the way.
And
burn
then later cape. On in the movie,
give
all
them
of them
steel.
Have a backup cape and a backup sword
and a backup
hidden
sword.
Somewhere, which yeah. I'm like, do you really have a backup cape? I don't know what the budget is on it.
And backup sword. Well, they probably have more than one.
And they were all hidden.
Yeah, they John Wicked right. it. They were all John Wick. They kept their weapons buried. Yes.
I wouldn't like keep mine in hay,
a,
though.
A compartment of hay.
Yeah, like I have really bad hay fever. So if I try to get that sword, I'll
you
be sneezing the entire
you
time.
We wouldn't have survived.
To a horse, and the horse kicks open
another thing. Chris Shut O'Donnell up, jumps on the back of a horse with perfect precision. I don't know if you can do that.
He'd probably shatter his
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I've seen trick
riders a horse
that
like
can do it.
Twice. But I figured like horses don't like you to get behind them. So like if you were to jump up from behind them, what's to stop the horse from kicking you?
These are trained horses, though. Let's be fair. And honestly, where the camera is, you don't see the springboard that's probably there,
he's jumping
ready
off
to
of
launch him up there.
You need to tell me, in the countryside of France, they just don't have springboards laying around
behind every barrel,
behind every barrel and horse,
every bale of hay.
The size of the horse, like there are big horses and there are little horses.
I bet I could do it with like a pony.
No, well,
no,
I think the
you know what? You're right.
Gonna kick you in the nads.
I could do it with a mule, guaranteed. Get me a mule.
Phrasing. Anyway, kid friendly.
So
kid
there is friendly. A. No, never mind. Kids show.
No, yeah, kid friendly. That's why I keep repeating it.
Parker, what do you think?
I want to know what she was bathing in. What is that, milk? Like, why is it so white?
Oh, that's for sure it's milk. Absolutely it's milk. That's
disgusting.
That's what, yeah, one.
What
gross.
If it's a hot day?
I'm wondering
what is it, Nate?
Like,
tell me.
I'm wondering if it's like perfumes. And
hot milk is delicious.
Yeah. Like, stuff for the skin. What it really is so we don't see her no-no bits in a Disney
movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's exactly what that is.
No-no bits is a thing.
This isn't Game of Thrones, everybody.
No, it's not.
It's not
Disney's
Game
of Thrones.
Oh, no one wants to see that. That's sad. You tune
I'm kind of intrigued by it now.
You tune into the goodie bits for Game of Thrones.
Because like, also, kinda like...
also, Julie Delpy as Constance, like, she does nothing in this movie. Of just
she's at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah, is that like, oh, this would be D'Artagnan's like
love or something?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was gonna be like The Knight's Tale, where it's like Heath Ledger and that girl going back and forth nonstop.
But they don't.
It's like, this is his.
And
it's
like but they don't.
They really don't at all.
Yeah.
They meet in that one moment,
right? And then they meet at the end of the movie, and she helps him with the sword. And
he learns how to winch in between all of that. So you know,
yes, he does. Hey, babe, the moon and the sun and
your poisoned face.
And that's all that matters. Yep. He takes the best of both worlds of Porthos and...
Nah, I like Porthos way more.
Oh,
also, I'm sorry, but how the Cardinal goes out at the end, kind of lame.
Lame.
Yeah.
Totally lame. He... gets dunked in the River Styx, and we never see him again.
I feel like it's one of those things that he doesn't die. He probably gets arrested is my whole thought process on that.
Well, I wanted to see him in a little tiny cart looking out the guy.
Or he's in that thing where their hands and head are like locked up,
throw
and he's getting tomatoes and potatoes at him.
I think the issue is, A, they probably had a for this movie, I'm sure Disney was like
a kill cap,
like a kill cap. Like,
like
you can either
you've killed 87, you can't kill anymore.
Yeah, you can either
kill
Darth Vader, which is the better kill, obviously, letting D'Artagnan stab him, and then letting the king regain like his masculinity in front of the queen, punch the guy. And they're probably like, okay, anything we do, showing him in jail, showing him floating down the river, just isn't going to be as good of a payoff. Just let him punch and then cut scene.
But the way this ends, I wonder, I don't know how the movie did, but it's like, was there plans to do the Four Musketeers and have Tim Curry come back to have his revenge?
I've never heard that Disney was planning a sequel. I just know, I think because this property was basically fair game for any studio.
It was probably in Oakland domain. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
open domain. Yeah. The way it ends, it's like, I'm kind of shocked we never got a sequel out of this. Like, honestly, especially with Disney. But then again, 90s Disney would have been direct to video.
Well, I was going to say, this is also the point where to get a true two-theater sequel from Disney doesn't really happen. It was always, you get the one Disney, big one, and then go to video.
And then we put it in the vault.
Well, if they did a direct to a DVD, they would have made more money off of that than promoting a second
film. Did with Lion King 2.
They would, certainly have not recast these people for a second film.
Yeah, I think a lot of that didn't start till like even the Pixar stuff started taking. You know, you got Toy Story 2
this was,
going to theaters and stuff like that.
That's Disney so was weird.
They were in, I don't say financial strife, but they were finding their way back from glory and building upon
the
past.
Is part of the Disney Renaissance too, this era.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, they were still trying to figure out a lot of things. And they made a lot of money off of direct-to-DVD.
So many hits.
But they were doing it. Like, I mean, the other forgotten movie that probably would have fit for this, too, if I wanted to go way more kid-friendly, would have been to bring, like, Tall Tale to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good one.
Which is Patrick Swayze and Oliver Platt, you know, in that. But and that's Ace. Oh, it's Ace.
Tall Tale?
Western.
It's about
Tall
Paul
Tales.
Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan and is it Pecos Bill? Whoever lassos the tornado.
Yep.
Which I think that's what Patrick Swayze's playing in that one. But anyway, Disney was doing, you also had like
the Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer.
Right
but
before
you had the Tiger Beat era where you had the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movies coming out. You had the, Tom Sawyer, the Huck Finn movies that were coming out a lot. That was where they were going with their live action movies, was teen style, live actions.
Was Jungle to Jungle? Was that a Disney?
Jungle to Jungle? Was Disney because that was Tim Allen and but yeah, Disney was kind of like, to me, in the 90s, was like firing from both barrels. They had the animated studio pumping out movies. The live actions were doing really good. And I forget the year, but we're not far away from Toy Story coming out. Because
Toy Story was 95.
Yeah.
95. Yep. So we're like 2 years away from Toy Story.
My name, Papa, wouldn't take me to the theater.
Because Lion King came out in 94. And then, Toy Story took off the 3D.
Yeah. And then you would still start getting into movies like Hercules and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're still just dominating. This is my Disney.
Animation.
We had that 2D when they started even blending a little bit of that 3D effect into the 2D, animations.
Yeah, I think, which they had been doing since the 80s, but they were doing it way more in the late 90s.
But I'm like,
the technology.
When you got to like Hercules is actually the perfect one because it was the Hydra fight where they did a lot of that with computer animations.
Tarzan did it really well.
Tarzan had
the bitchin' soundtrack.
I think Beauty and the Beast was the first one that integrated CG animation with 2D animation.
Technically, the Black Cauldron was.
That was like early 80s.
Now, if I recall, someone dissected that film recently. I did the thing. Yes.
Yeah.
You did. Good job, man.
I did the thing.
He said the name of the movie.
No.
They had been doing it since the mid-80s with the Black Cauldron starting it off than they did with the Great Mouse Detective, and they slowly were sprinkling it in, and then as the 90s started, then it was like really throwing it in there. Yeah, because once Toy Story came out, Disney was like, oh, okay, All right.
Let's do one. This is way cheaper now. And yeah. Now we're going to lose all of our credibility.
And then the early 2000s was when Disney switched over to the fully 3D animation. 3D, and it was 3D. Rough goings. Yeah. Those,
I think Brother Bear really was good. Their last hand-drawn animation. Like, right. Until
I don't know.
For Princess and the Frog. Yeah.
Oh, Princess the Frog. I like that one. Yep. It's New Orleans music.
Well, before we jump into the things, somebody said something that reminded me about awesome soundtracks.
I think
Disney didn't hold out the stops or pulled out all the stops for this movie.
I started laughing, though, when the credits reeled.
It's a great soundtrack, man.
Like, I was like, who credits the song that we have yet to hear first?
I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, yeah. Bold, what is that? Yeah. I was like, Bold, we haven't heard this song until now. And I didn't pay attention to it. I instantly turned the movie off. You're not going to trick me into listening to Sting. No, sir.
You were listening to the song throughout the movie.
What?
The song throughout the movie, which is done in orchestra, is that song, All for Love, by Bryan Adams, Sting, and Rod Stewart.
Well, you still didn't trick me into listening to Sting's voice, so joke's on you.
Dude, there's no way you've gone your entire life never hearing the song, though. I hate to tell you.
I don't know if I have or not.
I guarantee you've heard that. This was played everywhere. This is,
I know
you heard this
Robin
as much
Hood
as
song.
You. I was gonna say that's why I was
that
like, I want to watch Robin Hood because I want to listen to the song, and they have really cool music videos that go with them. I like the music video to this one because it's a video of them getting together and recording the song, and you see them like joking with each other. Like Rod Stewart shows up late, like someone did tonight, and they're Sting and Bryan Adams.
Am I the Rod Stewart of the podcast world?
You could have been Bryan Adams, but you showed up late.
No, I'd rather be the Rod Stewart because if you think I'm sexy and you, I can't sing anymore. We'll get sued.
We already got Disney on us. It's fine.
Yeah,
but no, this was a powerhouse, man, and Disney paid some bucks to get that song for this movie. I mean, that's how much faith they had in this thing. So. Awesome song, awesome movie. I think we get into the things. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Things.
Yeah.
Leave anything for us?
Just bodies.
Body count, body count, body count, body count.
So I thought this was going to be easy to find. I'm like, I'm sure someone has gone through and done a body count for this because there is one for
easy.
Sure. I can only find Athos, Porthos, and Aramis's body count. So
So like the whole courtyard battle and stuff.
Their whole through the movie, just those three, the three of them have 57 cumulative.
Oh,
I'm going to say D'Artagnan's just under 20. I think that you see on screen between some of the courtyard fights, he kills the sniper guy, he throws the one guy off the parapet, and, throughout the movie, there are some deaths and stuff that happen. I think I'm just going to give it a ballpark. I want to say there's no less than probably 120, 130.
That's fair.
On screen deaths. Because you see a lot of people dying in the big fight between the Musketeers and the Cardinal's guards. Heck, half of the Cardinal's guards are dead in the bar when they walk in when we first meet, Athos, Porthos, and Aramis together, so it's like, you see them all just dead. The pirate ship, they kill everyone on the ship before the Countess gets on and they're knocking over dead bodies.
I'm telling you though, right now, one Kung Fu master against the Musketeers are going down. I don't care.
Not if you go and then knock them down into the hole.
Said no to that.
All I know is when D'Artagnan got kicked, he had to be like, you can do that with your feet? Like, win!
Who was that guy?
I don't know at all.
I wish it was Ali Yong, but it wasn't Ali Yong.
I thought it was Jackie Chan in some like really heavy makeup. Yeah. Like, it really.
That would have been messed up. That would have totally been messed up. Well, out of all those deaths, let's pick our favorite one.
Have you ever
one.
Killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
Oh,
I actually don't think this is that difficult. And because Nate screwed me over last week, I'm getting mine in first. It's the Dungeon Master dude that gets stabbed and smashed. That is my kill of the week. That's the kill of the movie. Oh, I love that kill.
That's fair.
Yeah, that really
Parker,
is fair.
What about you, Buzz?
That's definitely my favorite. Just everything about it, the whole setup to it, him, you know, Porthos fighting him off, and then everything goes with like the double tap, as Nate said, it's perfect. I'm gonna give a honorable mention though to just D'Artagnan chucking this dude off of a 150-foot cliff, and then just peeking over, and then the dude gets his last right.
That might have legit been his first kill.
You can see it on his face. You can see his reaction. Best acting Chris O'Donnell's ever done is that scene of him being like, what did I just do?
That's because he actually accidentally killed a man, and that's what they showed.
They had to hide it.
So it's not even acting. He just really did it. Pete, what about you, bud?
Oh, easy. The guy getting sandwiched. He's
sandwiched. What is sandwiched?
He got smooshed. He got sandwiched like between two spiky things. But I will also give an honorable mention to a throwaway kill where two soldiers stab each other as they were trying to stab one Aramis. Of them. I don't remember who it was.
It was Charlie Sheen, and he does that little move, and they stab each other.
And they stab each other. That's when I knew, holy moly, they're really killing people in this movie.
The worst way to die.
Yeah.
Stabbed in the stomach.
You
don't fall down and not get back up after that. Yeah. So you're going to be languishing in agony when you get stabbed
a long
like
time.
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
As the acids of your stomach bleed out into your system and start eating away.
I thought he said something else.
I did too. I really did too.
What did I say? I'm going to stop here and just pass it along.
Nate. What's your kill of the week?
It's obviously the same one that you picked, I want to also do an honorable mention, just like Parker, but it's definitely when Porthos just pulls out the pistol and stabs that guy, or shoots that guy, I mean.
Oh, yeah, and he's like, oh, this is cool.
To me, that is the equivalent of the Gremlins 2, you know, the flash of the camera and the gremlin dying real quickly. It was the same thing. It happened so quickly that I was dying of laughter.
And he goes, like, ha ha, boom.
Yeah, it's his reaction to it.
I didn't do an honorable, but I actually have two honorables. One of them is Porthos, but it's when he pulls out the crossbow and makes that long freaking shot to save D'Artagnan. Yeah. But my other favorite one is Charlie Sheen at the big courtyard fight, and he's fighting two or three people, and he flips his sword around backwards and stabs the dude, pulls it out and goes, go with God, and walks away. I was like, yes! It's like he got a one-liner in the middle of all this. I love it.
There were a lot of great liners. I couldn't even cover them all. We do a whole podcast on just the one-liners in this film.
Just the comedy aspect of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, would you like some champagne? We're in the middle of a chase. You're right. Something red. There's drinking in a Disney movie. There's just all of this stuff
drinking,
going on.
Boobs. Oh, dying. God. This is
everything
the best
you want in
Disney
action,
movie man. Ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's rate the best Disney movie ever. Yeah, Pete, I liked it so much I decided to keep it for a little while.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I think we start with our guest, Parker.
Parker.
1 to 10 Aliongs. How many Aliongs you gonna give the Three Musketeers?
I'm gonna give this a solid 7 out of 10. Aliongs. It's a fun movie. I have a blast watching it, but it's one of those ones where I don't know when I'm ever gonna go back to it.
Fair,
that's a good point.
Fair,
that's a very good point.
Like, I feel like it's a comfortable number. Like, it's a number that still signifies it's a good movie, but it's not that movie that's an 8 to 10 where I'm like, I will watch this once a year. I'll watch this every couple months. Oh, this is a, I don't know when I will see this again. It might be a decade from now. It might be never again. Like, I hope it's not, but
I hope it's not.
Just, I mean, it has, it's like been, but it's not for the fact that it's a bad movie. It's just not something I, you know, there's just a lot of other movies that I would rather rewatch than the Three Musketeers.
Oh, I have no idea that we have lots of movies to watch.
Lots of them, Pete. Lots of them.
Lots and lots. See. Pete, you haven't said a whole lot tonight. Why don't you tell me what you write this
week? I've been very quiet tonight, and I apologize. I'm feeling a little...
lightheaded?
Yeah, maybe. This... Is this movie good? Meh. Is this movie fun? You're damn right it is. This movie is a hoot. And a hoot at the highest credentials. It's an 8. I think this movie is a blast. Much like Parker, I don't think I'm going to watch this a lot, but I always look forward to watching it.
Okay, I have a question then for that. Would you show this to your nephew?
You're darn right I will. This is on the fast track for my 9-year-old nephew to watch. Like, as soon as I get it from the library, I'm going to bring it to him.
That leads to a question that I was wondering too. I don't know how a kid would perceive this movie, like a modern kid. Why not? I don't know if they would like it or not.
It's a fantasy historical in quotation marks a film. It's high adventure. Why would a kid today have any different opinion on this movie than they would Pirates of the Caribbean?
Because I just think it could be from the 90s. Like, I think it's something I wonder. I'm curious to see what your nephew
would
already
think. I will report back.
Yeah. Like, I will say my kids enjoy this movie. Like, this was cool. We all watched together. I get where Nate's coming from, though, because there is a huge shift of movie watching from kids. And while
the stories that are at play and stuff like that, it's like, I don't know. Even though we picked this for Kid Month, I was like, I don't know if the modern kid would really latch on to this.
I don't think my oldest would like it. I don't think this is his jam.
How old is your oldest? 12. Then 12. I challenge you to watch this with him. I'm literally curious. Not to be like, I'm going to take you back on everything you just said, and you're never going to watch this movie again.
But damn it, now I got to watch it again already.
This is a super fun action movie from Disney.
Because
it is, but it has a 90s feel to it.
My thought process, though, and I think the core of what this month is about, is us as parents or this generation that want to get our kids in, you know, to enjoy these type of movies that we grew up with.
Yeah.
We are kind of being like, no, this is really, and if they're like, what did you watch as a kid? Because that's what I get a lot of times. It's like, this is one that I grew up with, but you guys can understand a little bit more about your dad by watching this. So I encourage my kids to try and watch these type of movies instead of just YouTube. There's people my age that probably hate this movie. And, you know, that probably like my parents made me watch that stupid movie when I was a kid, and I hated
they're
it.
They're so wrong.
You know, they are, you know, but it's going to come down to I've got two younger nephews. If I saw them running around with swords out in the backyard with sticks fighting at each other, I'd be like, all right, we're watching the Three Musketeers. Let's go.
Or the Princess Bride.
I'm going Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yep.
As a parent,
yes. Jurassic Park, where the Velociraptors have to sword fight each other.
They don't get a choice with Star Wars. Star Wars is life in my household. So it's not me going, what should I get them to watch? Mm-hmm. They've already seen that. Mm-hmm. They've lived it. Now it's like, okay, what else is there? It's like when I introduced Anthony to action movies.
Yeah.
Now what do I...
Star Wars is more fantasy and swashbuckling than it is sci-fi. It's not Star Wars is not sci-fi. It's the furthest thing from sci-fi.
I think the spaceships would disagree with you on that.
Yes,
and the spaceships.
The movie is called Star Wars,
and the aliens.
Nope, it's not sci-fi.
Star being the key word there.
Fantasy, swashbuckling, deliciousness.
Sci-fi.
This is probably your hottest take you've ever had.
It's Dungeons and Dragons at its best. It is not sci-fi.
Cool. Okay. Nate, what are you rating Three Musketeers?
I was pleasantly surprised with this movie. I really enjoyed it. It's an 8 for me as well. Much like Parker, I don't know when I would revisit this one particular, but I enjoyed it. I was really impressed with the domino effect of stunt work and stuff like that. And Oliver Platt stole every single scene. Mm-hmm. Tim Curry stole every single scene. Top Dollar being in it, like, there's a lot going on for this. And I kind of had a feeling, it's like when you approached it, I was like, that's early 90s Disney. Like, it's probably going to be really fun. And it was. And it does remind me a lot of that first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, which is, that's just a really good adventure movie, you know? And it's same thing. Like, this kind of paved the way for when Disney did decide to eventually go that next step and really ramp up the budget. But like, you see the attention to the set pieces, the costume design. You know, these characters are walking on actual live, you know, sets, and it's cool to see
the sets and the costume here. Gorgeous.
Oh, the opening scene where they're on the boat. And it's like they're filming this in an underground like set. This is awesome, and like to have it
that's
go
an actual
into a dungeon.
That's an actual like underwater under cave. Thing nice. That's on location where they did that.
Just as soon as it showed that boat on top of real water, I went, this is something you don't get nowadays, because it would be what the Mandalorian does, where one piece is real but the whole background is that digital CG, and it's just stuff like that I miss seeing in movies.
Yeah, it has an effect for sure. So I'm gonna go, I think I got God, I want to
hold
it
back.
I want to give it a 10.
You're going to give it a 10?
I said I want to give it a 10.
Oh.
But I'm also
you're not wrong.
I'm sitting here going, why shouldn't I? I mean, it literally has everything I want in a movie. It is what I consider the perfect personification of what we're doing this month. Mm-hmm. It's a 10 for me.
Okay.
It's such a strong part of
my childhood.
I
didn't give it
a 10
because I thought Parker had a good point. It's like, when am I going to watch this again?
I watch this movie regularly.
I don't think I will. But
when I found out that this was on Disney Plus, this was probably like the second or third movie I turned on when we first got Disney Plus, because I was like, I can watch it. Boom, there it is.
With your choice, I think it's
I watched this movie no less than once a year, just because it's a good feel good. Oh, absolutely.
How do you fit it in?
It's simple, Pete. He doesn't watch any movie from the year 2010 to 2024. And that's why I'm like, what if we did something modern and new? He's like, no, I have to watch Three Musketeers again. It's only been the seventh time this year.
I can't watch minus one.
Yeah.
I did. I did. I made time.
I waited till the last minute till it was not going to be in the theater.
I did. It was like, ooh, good thing they decided to bring in Minus Color back. you're not wrong, but I also, I have the ability to either be working in my shop and having a movie on in the background. This is a movie I don't have to sit down and absorb.
Oh, no. No, you don't need to watch this one.
But I'll tell you what I was doing.
Background music out. Yeah.
Last night I was engrossed in this movie. Like the phone was off to my side, silenced. Jackie and I pushed the recliners together. We're straight on the television, and I treated it like in an event. It was recliners. There's a thing in the middle, and she's covered in cats half the time.
And she's got cooties.
Yeah, girls have
cooties.
She's
a girl.
Curls.
Cooties,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, as a kid, you were like, whoa, they're on that woman's
boobs a lot. Jackie, I love you. I don't think you're
cooties. Yeah.
We have more to collaborate with, Jackie.
What are those pillows?
I'll be in contact.
Oh,
those
right.
are comfy.
I want to snuggle in them.
That's what 20-year-old Charlie said.
Yeah. Nate, do you have any bad reviews? For? Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie, you're driving.
I'm gonna slap
you know it, baby.
I'm going to slap him so hard.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring.
This is so
and
much
then
fun.
I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
I'm out of beer.
Oh, shocker.
I can go get more.
No. Yeah, I mean, you got to hear this review.
Ah, do I?
Yes, you do, because I think they spelled ludicrous wrong.
I spelled ludicrous wrong?
No, they did in their opening title.
Anyone who reviews anything and misspells stuff, I got no time for that. Go ahead.
Well, they gave this a 1 out of 10 back in 2005, and this is from Anne Londes, -1.
They spelled their name wrong.
Yeah, they totally spelled ludicrous wrong. I just had to make sure because I have to use my phone to spell things for me, you know, just because I'm a kid.
At this point, I think I'm in a State Farm commercial and Ludacris is going to show up in a minute.
Well, that was the other thing, too. I was like, am I thinking that Ludacris is spelled like the human Ludacris? Have I seen that so many times? But anyway, they gave this a 1 out of 10 and said one of the worst movies I've ever seen. All the cliches on how Americans view the French are in there, as well as those on how Hollywood sees Dumas, with a totally stupid Hollywood ending as well, with humor so heavy that it can only be taken as a parody and not a very subtle one. The cast does not save it. The actors obviously have been directed to overact in what I can only suppose is supposed to be humorous, but falls quite short of the mark. The movie gives a bad name to adapting books to the screen, and I regret that it can be the first contact of many children with the world of such a great writer. So I don't think they got it.
That is the quite possibly one of the dumbest reviews I've ever heard.
Yep.
Because I am the walking antithesis to that, because it got me to enjoy wanting to find out more about the Three Musketeers and Dumas and read more, find out about
fairly
the
certain
Monte
as a kid
Crisco,
I had like,
you know,
I had a bunch of these books that were the old books but made for like kids, so like Treasure Island, Black Beauty,
they're like the beginning reader ones.
They weren't golden books, they were
Ivanhoe
called.
Yeah. There's a version of it for all the monster movies too. That they would do condensed kid versions.
Like, because that's what got me into reading in like second grade, I want to say, was getting to read these old classic.
Hey, you can't things. Read.
Today. Well, now I can. I need pictures to be next to the words. That way I can fully appreciate. And usually,
I have to have my books read to me because I can't read.
I mean, and usually those books, they have to have like, say, a mutant turtle that knows ninja stuff. And then I'm like, cool, I get this book.
When you listen to audiobooks, is that still considered reading a book?
It is. I think it is.
Some people claim it is. I'm not going to argue with them.
I had a buddy text me today. He's like, have you read Dune yet? And I went, no. I'm intimidated by hell by that. He went, oh,
you know how many pages that book is? No,
well, then he's like, do an audiobook. And I was like, I always forget audiobooks exist.
That audiobook has got to be like 12 hours long.
Also, you got to make sure that you have the right, like,
I just voice read actor. Silence of the Lambs, and that was a 10.5-hour audiobook. So
times that by 4, and that's how long Dune probably is.
I don't know what's
going on. I accidentally picked up a pop-up book, and it scared me, and I haven't picked a book up
again. It was a clown.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't be messing with that. Mm-mm.
I pre-ordered the A is for Alien book on Amazon.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing.
That comes out in July, so that's also they're going to have pictures, now that I think about it, next to the words.
Nate,
that's really the only thing I read.
I need to snag one of those.
Yeah.
Read that to my 2-year-old.
We've done our trash opinion. Parker, Why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast, Dissect That Film?
Well, I am one third of Dissect That Film, a podcast that breaks down the plots of your favorite films and films from your favorite franchises. And we literally just go through the plots. We give facts on the movies. We bring a little, you know, a little humor here and there, mostly Dan saying inappropriate things. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. You guys have been on the show before. We talked about Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 2003. So, yeah, it's a podcast that's pretty much couch conversations, but shared on the internet. Where like when you can just sit down on your couch and have a conversation with your friends, that's pretty much what the show is. It's similar to what you guys do here.
It's a good hangout time. Also, you're on YouTube too, so you do like a video version of it too, right?
Yeah, we don't do anything special with that. You just get to see our faces there.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes
they actually walk through the plot in a very sensical manner where we do not. You're lucky to even get the character names from us. Usually it's just like, oh yeah, and then like Batman beat up that guy. It's like, you mean Michael Keaton? Like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
that's
no Oliver Platt
stuff.
That was who Batman is. Yeah, yes. We talk good about job, the Nate. End of the movie at the beginning
Nate,
of the
what
podcast.
What are you talking about? I don't even know.
I don't know anymore.
So yeah, you guys can find Parker over on Instagram. That's where a lot of the stuff we all interact with each other on over there. Spotify, Apple, wherever you guys get your podcast listening times to rate them 5 stars, as well as us. Find us over at Spotify and Apple. Give us the 5-star ratings. Leave us a review if you don't mind. And if you want to carry on into the chaos that is us, you can find us over on Facebook at Give Me Back My Action Movies, the podcast group. Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the podcast group. Both of us are on Instagram. We are on TikTok, Threads, X, and we are on YouTube. You just don't always get to see our pretty faces. Like get to see Parker's on his. So he looked at him, smile. Look at him. Look at him. Oh, he's blushing now.
Oh, now he's got a red face.
Yeah, look, he's blushing.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Viking beard of yours. You need to grow that out. And
I
get
swear he grew that out since like October.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I expect a Gimli beard by the end of the year.
I don't think it gets any bigger than this, to be honest.
That's so sad. I think that's a challenge that you need to accept.
It happens. As another bearded fellow, you know, it only goes so far unless we want to put a ton of money into
my face is too pretty to cover it up with hair.
Lucky this thing gets brushed.
Same. As a carpenter, the amount of sawdust that comes out of my beard is quite substantial.
Oh, it's just seasoning when you're eating.
Always, man. I get that fiber added, you know.
Yeah, it just tastes like Slim Jim.
What was I cutting today? Is that cedar? Why is it icy? Ooh,
why is it maple spicy?
It was pine, and that's why it's sticky.
Maple trees do not taste like maple syrup. I'm here to tell you right now. Doesn't work that way. All right, guys. Is there, let's see. We still
Are we
don't
done?
Know.
We're not
well,
done. We got.
Okay. Well, that's what I got to get ready to do. We haven't officially ended the poll.
Come on, we know exactly who won next week's episode.
Okay,
we know. I think it was by a landslide.
Well, I think we know who won both, honestly, if we're being truthful, because the other one is double the other two.
It's
so
not
are
my
we gonna
fault.
Are we,
Pete went and Ron Paul'd me or whoever so that guy from the 90s that kept stealing all the votes.
Ron Jeremy? What? No, that's a different
podcast.
Ron Jeremy, that's a different podcast.
Get friendly. All right. Well, then we'll go ahead and announce the next two for our Kid Friendly Month. Next week, Pete put it on the poll against My House 2 and Nate's Goosebumps. We all knew Pete was going to pull it out, though, because we are doing Monster Squad.
Monster Squad, baby.
That's almost cheating. That's pretty much... Let's be honest, Nate, we weren't fighting that one a whole
deck. I was hoping you were going to cover Monster House.
Hey, look here.
Yeah, I like Monster House.
Nobody said Monster Squad. I said Monster Squad, so tough.
We had to give you a win.
Yeah, you're right.
Although I hate to tell you this, I'm driving your entire episode. That's what's going to happen.
But
you don't get to say nothing.
We'll see about that. Maybe I'll show up like I did.
I can't wait to listen to that episode so hear Pete talk the entire time.
Talked more this episode than all of February.
Is Charlie in this episode? Someone,
nope.
Someone check on him.
I introed and then I showed back up at the end.
Sober for February, and that was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was. I wish I had been. And we'll go ahead and announce it, much to Nate's chagrin, because this is why we had to start the poll, because someone didn't think that this was a kid-friendly
action
entry movie. We are doing Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero.
Literally about a kid going into an action movie. I don't know how this doesn't work.
There are
I don't know. I haven't seen it in years, so I might be wrong, but
there are so many.
I feel like there's too many jokes that go over a kid
in this movie. You just like gotta sit down,
even kids movies.
It's amazing. This movie is amazing. I love it.
I love this movie. It's why I wanted it on here, and it's kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing them to act, because I'll tell you, when I saw this movie, I hadn't seen all the movies it references. So now I get to go back and see so many more and go, why is this familiar? It's because they made a joke about it in Last Action Hero.
I bet there's a number of them that I haven't seen as well. So.
I just want that Stallone Terminator 2 poster.
Exactly.
That's really? Yeah.
It's his best movie.
Pretty funny.
Yep. He's fantastic in it. It was his best movie. So, yep. That is going to round out our kid-friendly March. Yep. And then we go into chaos for April, but we will save that.
I don't know what that means.
Till April.
I think April's going to be fun.
We're going to eventually do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this month, right? Because
I don't think so.
There's only four.
It didn't make the poll.
Yeah, but like,
there's only
I hate
four.
You guys, like, if there was a passionate hate for the
movies.
Two of you, it's pretty strong.
You had the ability to put it on the poll, and you didn't.
And you didn't.
No, because I thought we were in agreement. We already discussed this in the LS episode. Here's my problem. I'm the one that decided we should do a kid month, and I was like, we'll do it with Ninja Turtles. And then you assholes hijack my month, and now we're not doing... I would say that in fourth grade to you, and I know it, so that's allowed right now, because I would so say it when there's not an adult around.
You are now listening to the end of Give Me Back My Horse.
You're an asshole.
I'd still be a foot taller than you in fourth grade. Who are you talking to?
You're a foot taller than him right now. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
guys, I could feel the crumbling. Somebody hold up the walls.
I just
had the opportunity to put it on the list.
No, see, this is...
Whose fault is that?
Bullpucky, because...
Bullpucky!
I thought we were in agreement on it.
You threw down and said, we are doing Gremlins 2.
I
and I was like,
that every episode is going to end with an argument in March like this, because I'm not letting it go.
I'm not arguing, though. You're the one doing it.
We don't have to end it. Charlie can just
see if I come back in April. We'll see.
April was your idea.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll leave you two baloney jerks.
Parker and I can take care of
what is a baloney jerk?
Absence. I don't know what baloney jerk.
Figure it out. You are one.
I could explain, but it's child friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
This is and 30.
Do I need to cook it in some Monte Crisco?
No. Hey, all right. To be fair, that teacher should have corrected me all those years ago.
I think she felt sorry for you and just let you have at it.
This is the problem with the American's education system, all right?
No.
Oh, boy, this is gonna be another 2 hours, guys. Hold on. Hold on to something.
Yeah, let me learn you a thing or two.
We got kid-friendly. Kid-friendly. Oh, come on. Somebody get me out of here.
Oh, we gotta get out of here.
Well, I feel like there's only one way to get out of here, gentlemen.
All for one?
And one for all.
One for all.
Yep, we nailed
that. Terrible.
Yep. Jack King, I'm a musketeer. Baguette. What are the things that French people like?
We Americanized the French. Isn't that what that one person said?
Yeah. We call soccer football around here, wacky people.
It's so funny how this movie just like... We're not even going to try to be French here. We're just going to be American.
It was a mix of everything.
Yeah, I would take that as a compliment if I was France, honestly. Yeah,
I think the only one who was trying for an accent was Michael Wincott. And
yeah.
Top Dollar's like, I'm he doesn't in. Know what. Yeah. That's when all those Three Musketeers are going, wee wee, fire it up. Wee wee, fire it up.
I just wanted Oliver Platt to come out with a Three Musketeers bar and just start eating it.
Oh, God. I'm surprised that didn't happen in this movie.
You know, there was ones on the craft service table. I guarantee.
I would have destroyed that craft service table. I love Three Musketeers.
Yeah. They make me thirsty, though.
Those are Jackie's favorite. Three Musketeers, man.
Excuse me. Can I have something from your bar? Yes. We have a new dessert. It's chocolate and nougat. Ooh. Chocolate and nougat. Could you add some caramel to it? Oh, chocolate and nougat. Caramel. The perfect dessert.
There's no caramel in a Three Musketeers.
That's a Snickers.
Oh, yeah. Shit. No, that's got peanuts
well,
milk, in it.
Milky Way. Milky Way was more of
Milky Way is the fake candy bar no one likes.
I like
Milky
Way.
Every time I get
Way.
One of those in the Halloween bag, I'm like, those are the worst.
I like the
Midnight
Milky Way.
What's a Milky Way?
I want a Milky Way. Milky Way Dark kicks ass.
Yes. The Midnight one.
The Midnight one. Yeah.
That's like saying you want that one candy that's like an Almond Joy.
It's like saying I want to listen to Nate talk some more.
Almond Joy.
I don't want the Almond Joy. I want the, what's the other one?
No Joy.
I want the Almond Joy.
Mounds, yes.
Mounds, yeah. I want a Clark bar.